This lesson is about building a clean, high-impact drum-and-bass riser and transition effects sequence in Ableton Live using stock tools only. In drum and bass, effects are not decoration. They are the glue between phrases, the warning signal before impact, and the tension system that tells the dancer something is about to happen. A strong riser can make a drop feel twice as heavy without changing the drums or bass at all. A weak one can make even a good arrangement feel flat, rushed, or amateur. We are staying firmly in the effects category here: atmosphere, tension, transition design, and section movement. Not a bass patch, not a drum bus, not a full mix lesson. The focus is how to create a riser that actually works in a real drum and bass arrangement and translates in club playback. This technique is especially useful in dancefloor, neuro-adjacent, and modern rolling drum and bass, where transitions need to feel intentional, energetic, and DJ-friendly. It also works in deeper styles, but in that case you would usually scale back the aggression and brightness. By the end, you should be able to build a 4 or 8 bar riser sequence that creates tension without cluttering the drop, ramps energy in a way that feels musical rather than random, sits around the drums and bass instead of fighting them, and lands cleanly into a drop, fill, switch, or fake out. A successful result should sound like this. The listener feels the track pulling forward, the final bar feels inevitable, and when the drop lands, the transition feels earned rather than pasted on. You will build a layered drum and bass riser effect stack made from noise, tonal lift, filtered ambience, and a final impact or release move. The finished result should have a brightening upward energy curve, a tight rhythmic relationship with the phrase ending, enough detail to feel polished, but not so much that it steals attention from the drums or drop, and a clear final moment where tension either releases or cuts sharply for impact. The sonic character should include airy top end from noise, controlled movement from filtering and automation, optional pitch lift for urgency, subtle stereo width, but a mono-safe center when needed, and a final transition move like a reverse tail, downlift, or impact hit. Rhythmically, it will usually build over 4 or 8 bars, with stronger acceleration in the final bar, often with a noticeable suck-in or silence point just before the drop. Its role in the track is to bridge intro to drop, breakdown to second drop, or one section to the next, support arrangement phrasing, and increase anticipation without replacing proper section writing. By the end, it should be demo-ready and close to mix-ready, not hyper-mastered, but clean enough to drop into a working track and immediately judge in context. The success test is simple. If you mute the riser, the transition should feel noticeably less exciting. When you unmute it, the section should gain direction, tension, and payoff without turning harsh or messy. Before inserting devices, decide what this effect sequence is supposed to do in the arrangement. In Ableton, set a loop over either 4 bars before the drop, or 8 bars before a major section change. Now ask one precise question. Is this riser meant to increase aggression into a heavy drop, or build suspense into a cleaner, more spacious landing? This matters because your FX shake changes with a musical job. A practical drum and bass example. For a dancefloor drop, use a brighter, more obvious lift with a strong final cutoff. For a deeper roller, use a subtler rise, more atmosphere, and less extreme top-end push. Why this works in drum and bass is that the genre relies heavily on phrase tension across fast BPM grids. At around 174 BPM, transitions pass quickly. If your riser has no defined role, it either feels too weak to matter or so busy it trips over the drop. Create a dedicated group called FX Transition 1 now. Put all riser layers inside it from the start. You will automate and level the whole build faster later. Start with the most reliable foundation, a control noise build. Create a new MIDI track and load operator. Choose the noise waveform on one oscillator, or start from a basic patch and isolate the noise source if appropriate. If you prefer a simpler route, use a sampled noise source or resample a noise burst, but stock synth noise through operator is fast and flexible. Shape it with auto filter after operator, utility after auto filter, and optional reverb after utility if you want more space before printing. Suggested starting points are an auto filter high pass frequency starting around 700 Hz and automated up to 6 to 10 kHz, resonance at 10 to 20%, utility gain kept conservative around minus 12 to minus 8 dB, and reverb with a decay time of 2 to 4.5 seconds and dry slash wet at 10 to 25%. Automate these over 4 or 8 bars, volume slowly rising, high pass filter opening upward, and optional slight stereo widening near the end. What you want to hear is the riser lifting out of the floor, not just getting louder. If all you hear is volume increase with no sense of upward motion, the filter movement is too static. Noise alone gives energy, but tonal movement gives emotional direction. Create a second MIDI track with wave heatable or operator using a simple bright tone, a sign with harmonics, a triangle, or a soft saw with filtering. Program a held note or a single long MIDI note across the riser length. Then automate pitch, or use clip transposition if you are working from Audino. Good starting moves are a pitch rise of +7 to +12 semitones across 4 to 8 bars, a low initial level that ends clearly audible, but still under the drums, and a filter opening from muted to present. A useful chain is instrument, then auto filter, then echo or reverb. Then EQ 8. Suggested settings are autofilter low pass starting around 1.2 to 2.5 kHz and ending around 8 to 14 kHz. Echo dry slash wet at 8 to 18%, reverb dry slash wet at 12 to 22%, and EQ 8 with a gentle high shelf around 6 to 10 kHz, no more than 2 to 4 dB. Why add this? In drum and bass, especially polished modern styles, a transition often needs a tonal cue that says we're rising. Noise gives motion, pitch gives intention. At this point, make a choice. A smooth tonal rise feels cleaner, more euphoric, and more dance-floor friendly. A more dissonant or metallic rise feels tenser, darker, and more neuro or techie. If the track already has lots of mid-range aggression, choose the smoother option. If the track is too polite and needs stress before impact, choose the darker one. Now add a subtle atmosphere bed so the riser feels like part of the world of the track, not a pasted-on stock effect. Use an audio track with a field texture, room tone, vinyl style wash, or a stretched reverb print from an existing element in the track. This is where resampling your own material helps. For example, take a vocal stab or pad hit from your track, add a long reverb, flatten or resample it, reverse it if useful, and fade it into the transition. A suggested chain is audio source, then EQ 8, then auto filter, then reverb, then utility. Suggested settings are EQ 8 low cut around 150 to 300 Hz, a notch if needed around harsh areas like 2.5 to 4.5 kHz, auto filter moving slowly and possibly in the opposite direction to the riser, reverb decay time at 3 to 6 seconds, and utility width at 120 to 160% if the source is too narrow. Check this in context. If your track already has wide pads or busy top end in the pre-drop, keep this ambience very low. It should fill the edges, not blur the groove. Mute the ambience layer and listen. If the transition suddenly feels smaller and less cinematic, it is helping. If muting it makes the build clearer and punchier, it is too loud or too full in the mids. This is one of the biggest quality jumps in FX design. Do not treat bars 1 through 7 the same as bar 8. The final bar is where tension should accelerate or strip away. Duplicate your main riser audio, or resample your MIDI layers to audio, then edit the final bar independently. In the last bar, try one or more of these moves: steeper filter movement, stronger pitch acceleration, a volume ramp that peaks just before the drop, a brief mute or dip before impact, or a reverse swell into the final quarter note. Concrete options include automating track gain down by 2 to 4 dB in the final eighth note for a vacuum effect, increasing filter resonance from around 15% up to 30 or 40% only in the last half bar, and automating reverb dry slash wet down right before the drop, so the tail does not smear the kick and snare. This is where many drum and bass risers become effective, not because they are complicated, but because the final bar clearly tells the listener that impact is coming. A simple arrangement example is bars 1 to 3 with a restrained lift, bar 4 with more brightness and width, and the final half bar with a quick suck out, then the drop on beat 1. That shape is simple, repeatable, and highly usable. A reverse tail gives that classic being pulled into the drop sensation. Take any short sound already belonging to your track, a crash, vocal chop, synth stab, or a reverb print from a snare or impact. Create a long reverb version, resample it to audio, then reverse it. Align the end of the reversed file so it stops exactly at the drop point. A typical processing chain is source hit, then reverb with a high decay, then resample, reverse the audio clip, then EQ 8, then auto filter. Useful settings are reverb decay time of 4 to 8 seconds, pre-delay from 0 to 15 milliseconds, EQ low cut at 200 to 400 Hz, and an auto filter high pass rising toward the drop if the reverse gets muddy. Why this works in drum and bass is that the style is so rhythm-led that any directional audio cue helps the body anticipate the one. Reverse effects are especially effective because they create motion without adding extra rhythmic clutter. If the reverse swell clouds the drop, shorten it aggressively. A one-bar reverse often works better than a four-bar one in a dense drum and bass arrangement. A riser without a landing often feels unfinished. At the drop point, choose one of two outcomes, a release outcome, meaning an impact hit, downlifter, or short burst that resolves the tension, or a cut outcome, meaning sudden silence before drums and bass for a sharper punch. For a release, use a short impact sample, a layered low-pass thump plus a high air burst, or a downlifter created from noise with descending filter and gain automation. A simple downlifter method is to duplicate your noise layer, reverse the automation direction, automate gain downward over 1 to 2 bars, use auto-filter to close down from 8 kHz to 1.5 kHz, and add reverb lightly for tail. For the cut outcome, mute or automate the FX group off in the final eighth note or quarter note, and let the drop hit from silence. Again, choose by function. A release landing is smoother, more cinematic, and often safer in melodic or dancefloor tracks. A hard cut landing is more brutal and more effective when your drop drums are strong enough to carry the impact on their own.